Thank you for listening to our New Life Christian Center podcast. Stay tuned after the sermon for more ways to connect with us.
Open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Mark. I'm sorry, Matthew. If you have the notes, you realize that I started in the wrong spot. Mark is a great scripture, and I'm going to use it in the weeks to come, but not today. Matthew chapter 4. I want to talk about hearing His voice, hearing the voice of God. And what I really want to do is combat the prevailing attitude that I see in maturing Christians who confess regularly how difficult it is to hear God's voice. And I want to take you on a journey attempting to show you how simple God designed hearing His voice to be. I don't want you to find yourself in a position where you think you don't hear well. I want to show you how the Word of God speaks about hearing His voice. I also want to show you how important it is for you to monitor what you allow in. Because one of the greatest reasons for not being able to hear God's voice is our willingness to hear everything else. And that becomes a real problem. We really open ourselves up to all kinds of difficulties that come. We're actually growing kind of overweight in the theories of classroom Christians, people who sit in academic and those kinds of ways telling us what to think without ever teaching us to expect that God performs His word. His word is being performed by Him, and it doesn't have anything to do with us. And what we oftentimes do is think we need to do something to get God to do the thing He promised to do, whether we do anything or not. And so we have this kind of classroom mentality that says, well, show us how this works so we can then do the formula to hear God's voice. And so I want to start with a simple quote today before we read Matthew chapter 4. And I want you to understand that everyone, even sinners, hear God's voice, or no one would be saved. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that no one comes unless the Father draws him. Somehow or another, there's a drawing that comes from heaven itself, from the Creator God, from the person of Jesus Christ, from the motivation of the Holy Spirit. There is a voice that gets heard. It is so simple, and we've made it so complicated. Everyone hears the voice of God. Rather than starting from a position that says, well, only special people hear God's voice, if you live pure enough. I am so tired of hearing people tell me that God doesn't coexist in sinful things. I'm telling you what, God follows you into the worst circumstance you've ever chosen in all your life. He is there speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is throwing up the caution flags, the red flags, and whatever else is happening in your life. God never allows you to go into something and forsakes you until you get your life together. He's actually right there with you, speaking to you every breathing, walking, waking moment. He is there. And so please don't make hearing God's voice difficult. Please don't make it about being perfect. I don't hear the voice of God. Can I tell you who hears the voice of God the best? People who understand that the revelation that God offers always has a connection to the mystery that we can't understand. The more you embrace the mystery of who God is, I mean, He is beyond understanding. Then what He says to you will be couched in your trust of who God is, the mystery of who He is. And so Revelation, I'll show you that. That's actually the Mark scripture that I could take you back there and show that to you. But that's actually that Mark scripture where the disciples said to Jesus, why do you teach them in parables? And He says, because it's appointed unto you to know the mysteries of God. See, He wanted you to take the revelation, and that's the parable of the sower right there, but He wanted you to take the revelation of the sower and attach it to the mystery. The hidden or secret things that God has. So as you embrace the mystery of who God is, you'll actually receive a deeper level of revelation so that things that are spoken in the natural, you'll hear those things with a spiritual connotation because you've accepted the miracle of God's mystery working in your life. That's who hear God's voice. Listen, none of you really decided to get saved. I mean, you might have thought you did, but until God drew you, you didn't even know what getting saved was. Before I was born again, I didn't need a God. My wife tells a story all the time, I didn't even believe in hell. And I didn't, because all I ever learned in church was that God was some sort of sloppy love guy that just loved everybody, didn't care about anything, just loved everybody. And so how could he send anyone to hell? How many of you know that God doesn't send people to hell? People choose to go there. How did you know there was an option that you don't choose the wrong one? Did you ever think of that? If people go to hell because of their choices, that means there was an opposition to the choice they took. There was a revelation attached to the mystery about how God changes your life in a twinkling of an eye because you confess Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You accept the mystery. It is so crazy to think that by my acceptance of the revelation and embracing of the mystery, God teaches me at a depth that is unavailable outside of God. So everyone hears. Everyone hears God's voice. You were drawn to him before you knew about him because God has always been pursuing you, always been nudging you. And you say, oh, that's just sloppy. It's not sloppy. It's actually the way grace works. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. You brought nothing to the table. And so I'm going to teach you, I hope, with the Holy Spirit's help, for several weeks about hearing his voice. I want you to leave this sermon series with a greater level of understanding and a greater embracing of the mystery. This stuff that God hides for us right in the middle of common language. I mean, when I teach you from the parable of the sower, it is so common, and it's just like God, but it's going to end up being right in the middle of the major planting season in agriculture in our area. We'll be talking about this. Many farmers and related industries will get really wound up in now for the next month, let's say. And God, in his infinite, I didn't choose this. I didn't choose to teach this. This is simple stuff for what I really wanted to teach something else, and I kept telling God that. I kept telling my wife when I went home from here, I said, I just don't really have any direction. What I really meant to say was, God doesn't like my direction. Because I had direction. It just wasn't his. Everybody hears God's voice. In Matthew chapter 4, this story is about Jesus who gets led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to embrace the mystery of God to think that three parts of the Godhead are at work here. In chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized, and God speaks from heaven, which I think, again, you know, Dean talked to me several weeks ago or maybe a couple of weeks ago and said, I always see these things in the scripture, and I say, man, would that be a good movie? I mean, everybody's just clamoring around John the Baptizer, right? And John is baptizing a baptism of repentance. It's not a New Testament message. It's an Old Testament message. They're looking for the Messiah. In fact, when Jesus had grown up a little bit and done his ministry and John the Baptist was in jail, he called and said, hey, go back and ask this Jesus fella if he's the one or if we should look for someone else. The whole purpose of John the Baptist's ministry was to make known what was coming. So finally, Jesus walks over a hill. John the Baptist, like all good baptizers do, is in the water facing the crowd, people getting baptized. And he's dipping back some guy, and over the crest of the hill comes Jesus. And John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of mankind. Now, when John the Baptist said that, the language was really, really interesting because he doesn't say what you think he says. He's not magnifying the sin. He's literally being the person who takes a hold of the sin and removes it from you. This is not him just forgiving it and then leaving you in your mess. He takes a hold of that sin and removes it from you. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, it even says something that is impossible. He says, and God forgets. What? God doesn't forget. God chose to forget your sin. The only one that has access to your past is you. God himself is not bringing up your past. Isn't that interesting? You say, well, yes, he is. I know I'm a terrible person. In fact, I've done so much that I may not even be save worthy. Really? He put his sin, your sin, behind his back. As far as the east is from the west. One other version, one other scripture says that he put it in the depths of the sea. And I'm going to tell you, the sea is deeper than the highest mountain. That's a lot of water pressure. That's why the creatures are all weird down there, by the way. Not really. I was going to say they're all affected by sin, but just rabbit trail. When he baptized Jesus, he put him down in the water. He came back up, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove landed on him. And God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God identifies Jesus as the Son of God to the public right then and there. When the Holy Spirit takes Jesus, not 10 verses later in chapter 4 of Matthew, if you'd put up verse number 1, please. Not just a few verses later. It says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now let me share something with you. If the Holy Spirit can lead Jesus to the door of temptation, he can lead you to the door of temptation. The door of temptation swings both directions. You do not have to go in. You do not have to stay in temptation. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. Temptation takes you up to the doorway, up to the threshold, up to the place of transgression, but you step over that. The Holy Spirit can lead us to that to show us our own character, how willing we are to participate outside of God's spoken will for us. Now let's go back to what I said at the beginning. Everyone hears God's voice. That's why there's an inherent knowing, unless you're a sociopath, there's an inherent knowing inside of all of us about right and wrong. It's always there. It's deep in the created image of who we are, even before we're saved. We actually know it's not right to do those things. But like I tell you, the door of temptation swings both ways. You don't have to go through it. If you go through it, you can come back. You can say, hey, whoa, I'm in over my head here. And by the way, when you get in over your head, it doesn't make any difference how deep you're in. Right? Doesn't make any difference. You've went the wrong direction. Swim your way out of that thing. And so the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God knew what he was doing. The devil knew what God had planned. And the devil said, if I can get the Son of God to choose an easier path, it will short circuit the whole plan. And that's what the temptation of Jesus is all about. So the Bible tells us that this happened and shows us how Jesus himself combats what happens to him in the temptation. Notice, if you would, in the second verse. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Notice that he tells you the end of the story first. Do you see this? This is the end of the story. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. And this is him enduring the temptations. Here's my point. God says before you ever go through a difficult time, you can make it. And everybody hears his voice. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've gone through, whatever situations you're facing, God is saying to you, I've always made you to triumph. You are more than a conqueror. By the way, you must be a conqueror to be more than a conqueror. He reminds you that you've conquered this and more. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse number 12, he says, "And greater things than these will you do because I go to my Father." Jesus is telling us, you will do greater things on this earth, in this life, than I was able to do. You say, "Oh, that's not possible." That's exactly why we don't hear God's voice. We think it's impossible to do what the Word says He designed for us to do. Does that make sense? Amen. You're just looking at that going, "Well, but there's no way we can do more than what Jesus did." Listen, take that up with God. Take that up with His written Word. The living Word of God says that. And so in verse number 2, it says that when he had fasted 4 days, 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came in to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God," just skip back 10 or 12 verses, and God himself shows up on the scene as a voice by the river, just booming out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God had already announced that this was his Son. The tempter came and said, "If you are the Son of God." Now here, listen, hear God's voice. Every time you're tempted, it will always come against your revealed identity. Always. Always come against your revealed identity. You hear God's voice telling you who you are. Okay? Now I know, having been at this church for a long time, that there have been times where maybe you thought I wasn't the best pastor for this church. And not to be arrogant, I'm not trying to be that way, I'm not trying to be cruel, I'm just saying that when you are me, you have to accept your identity as the pastor of the church that God's called you to. You have to be willing to stand in the identity of who God says you are. So for me, when struggles come, not everybody loves me. I don't know if this comes as a surprise to you, but not everybody loves me. In fact, in my last church, people went to Tracy. They would never come to me, and I'm not sure why. I don't understand why people wouldn't talk to me like that, because I'm so approachable all the time. Anyway, they would ask Tracy, "I don't even think Pastor Glenn likes us." And she got to the place where she would say to them, "God's love in him for you is greater than anything you'll ever be able to comprehend. It's why he tells you the truth." See, you'll hear God's voice. You don't have to like me as a person. I have to embrace what I heard from heaven. See, I've heard God's voice. So should you, right? So should you. Because that's, everyone hears God's voice, right? And so we keep reading here in verse number 3. He says, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Yeah, well, there you go. In the middle of your fast, he wants you to know that he can help you with your hunger, as long as you step outside of the plan of God. See, that's how I know people hear God's voice, because they step outside of God's plan all the time. You say, "Well, that means they didn't hear it." Nope, that means they chose the wrong choice. I tell people all the time, you are never without options. You're never without options. You say, "Well, I just don't like the ones I have." Yep, I don't like the ones I have sometimes either. But you're never without options. You're never without the ability to trust God in the worst possible circumstance. There's so much scripture in the Bible that talks about how we shouldn't be murmuring and complaining. And I know that none of you do this, but you know, the people who didn't come to church today because of the weather, they're probably complaining about the weather at home. You just came here and complained about it. You can hear the wind rattling around out there. Amen. And Jesus answered in verse number 4. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." This is a quotation from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second telling of the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going into the promised land. And in the second telling of that, in this recounting of what happened in the 40 years that they wandered, they learned that man doesn't live by bread alone. And yet, in the midst of their wandering, they complained about not having bread. What was God's character lesson? That when you complain, you're missing what God has provided. So we get a choice here to hear God's voice and say, "No, you're missing the point. You're complaining about what's happening while missing what I'm doing." not me, but what God is doing. He said, man shall not live. So let's take that apart. He says, man shall not live alone. The word alone literally does mean alone. It means that which remains. But the second half of that, or the other side of that translation, literally shows us that we act on our own authority. So when I would say to you, I went out and I fought Daryl alone. I went with my own authority into that and fought him. That's what it means. And so what he's saying is we never live as a singular fact on bread or as a singular fact that we can handle what we're in by our own authority. Man doesn't live on bread alone, meaning that we don't live in accordance with our own strength. See, you can hear God's voice, but much of what we're saying to ourselves is try and convince ourselves how strong we are. I want to convince you to move the line of weakness closer. I mean, I want you to take just a millimeter step and be over the line of weakness so you can depend upon him. I've heard so many people say that God will never give you more than you can handle. And I've always rejected the thought process. Because if I can handle it, I don't need God. That's where I came from in life. I could handle life most of the time. And so I didn't need a God. I was successful from my endeavors. You know, I was successful in business. Right up until God said, I need you to change. And I said, well, I don't really want to change. And so God began to show me that my self-dependent character is what he was asking me to change. And I want weakness to be really close to me, because in weakness, his strength is made perfect. Does that make sense? So how do you hear God's voice? Well, you say, oh, I'm really close to weakness here, right? Why? Because strength, I know God will get stronger and stronger and stronger as I embrace my own personal weakness. Say, well, I'm not doing that, Pastor. It's exactly why you think you don't hear God's voice. It's not that you didn't hear it, but you're unwilling to do what he said. But everyone hears. So here's your quote. No individual outside of God's word can figure out how to live. No individual outside of God's word can figure out how to live. You're not designed to figure it out on your own. Everyone hears. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds. It literally means to go out from within continually. It means now and tomorrow and the day after that. Presently and continually. You see, what happens is that God shows us that he is always speaking. He's always speaking. In this case, the quote that Jesus pulls in to combat against the devil is to show that God has already spoken to him. He already knows who he is. He's living not by his own strength, but rather by the strength that God has placed in him to reject these temptations and to shortcut his time to the king, to becoming king. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't live by bread. You can't tempt me with bread to satisfy an immediate need. You can't tempt me with the idea that I should be the one who does this. Nope, God's going to do this. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus emptied himself. He took all of his rights and privileges as the Son of God and emptied them out. And he suffered the death, even the death on the cross. He emptied himself of those things. He emptied himself. I hear an awful lot of the time in today's society how many rights we all have. I hear people talking about how that the government and this, that, and the other thing, they're going to take our rights. No one can take your rights as a Christian. They may tell you that you can't pray in school, but I don't know how they stop you. Go ahead, pray in school. You say, well, I don't want to pray out loud. Nobody said you had to pray out loud, but if you want to pray out loud, pray out loud. See, what the world wants you to do is to be really, really timid and to never do anything to ruffle, you know, well, don't force your religion on us. Well, this is not really forcing. This is just me living out my Christianity because I've heard God's voice. I've heard God's voice. God says, pray without ceasing. He didn't say pray without ceasing But be careful if people make laws. Right? And so now we hear the law and it supersedes what we heard God's voice say. See, part of the problem here is that biblical hearing is not about ability. We all hear. But it's about willingness. Willingness to hear almost everything else over Him. That's why I say everybody hears, but we choose what to listen to. We choose. And so we fill our minds with stuff that doesn't help. You say, well, what do you want us to do, Pastor? Really? Do you want that information? Do you want me to tell you what I want you to do? I want you to quit watching the news. I want you to quit listening to crazy people who tell you things that you never check on that never happen. I want you to quit listening to sidewalk prophets who have no accountability. Because when you fill your life with that, you have an inability to choose to hear God's word because you think that's God's word. You say, well, Pastor, that's a lot. No, it's not. It's just you evaluating what are you going to value more? What are you going to value more? I was arguing with God this week. It was a very busy week for me. And I was asking God, that's a kind way of saying it, about certain things. And God kept interrupting my questions. And He kept telling me to do a particular thing. And I was really busy doing His work. But He kept interrupting me. Finally, I gave in, got in my car, and drove. This sounds crazy, right? Drove to where He told me to go. Walked into the place. He didn't tell me the place to go. I knew where the person was that He told me to go to. Okay? So I drove to where that person was. I knew where they would be on that day. Casual acquaintance. And I walked in, and I walked back to the back of where he was, where I could hear all the music coming from, and I walked back to where somebody was playing music back there, and there he was. And he shut it off, and he looked up at me, and he said, exactly 1 year ago, I talked with you on the phone, and I was in a real desperate place. And he says, you talked me back from the cliff. He's in a much better place now. He's hearing God's voice better. Now, don't remember, I called him a year ago because God told me to. I went this week because God wouldn't leave me alone. And I drove there just so that he could give praise to God. God completely interrupted my life. But I had to do it because, are you ready? I hear God's voice. You say, well, but Pastor, nope. I was too busy to go do it. I didn't want to go do it. I had things that I had to do. I was preparing for a funeral. I was preparing for these two services I've done today, and I had two pastoral services coming up that I've since had to cancel because I have a funeral tomorrow. So that's still coming. So I had five services on my plate over the 4 days that were left for me to prepare. I didn't want to go do those things. But I hear God's voice. I want it to be that simple for you guys. I want you to hear God's voice. Look what it says here. It says, a man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds from the mouth of God. This is my favorite part of this verse. Because it does mean mouth. But specifically, it means the front edge of a weapon. The front edge of a weapon. Listen to these scriptures. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Revelation 1:6. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Revelation 19:15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron, and on it goes. You see, there's something about this word that becomes a weapon in the spirit world. So here's why it's really important to hear God's voice, is that what comes out of God's mouth is not only a representation of what he says, but a representation of the sharp sword of his word. It'll change how your life works. But if all you hear is the negative stuff and not the word stuff, if all you expose yourself to are the things that are going wrong in our land, I mean, man, oh man, it's so hard. But if you'll just trust God's word, what comes out of his mouth will be the leading edge of a sword that will change your circumstances to such a degree that you'll know you heard God's voice. But if there's no room for that, if there's no room for the mouth of God, then you won't understand what God's trying to say to you. That's why in Romans chapter 10, it says that with the mouth man believes, with the heart, with the heart man believes, with the mouth he confesses. What's he confess? He confesses, he uses the leading edge or the sharp edge of a sword to separate you from the sin you lived in. His word does that. His word does that. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 10, please. I'm not sure if what you have in your notes is exactly the same. Like I told you, I spent a little time arguing with God this week and was still writing these notes yesterday. And so I'm not exactly sure what Jeremy had when I gave them to him on maybe Wednesday or whatever day it was. So forgive me if I'm taking you places that you don't see in the notes that you're using online. Here's Romans. Will you put up verse 8, please? Thank you. But what does it say? It's talking about the word. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth. It's the same word. That's the leading edge of a weapon. Your mouth, God's word coming out of your mouth, is the leading edge of a weapon in your life. Why it's important to hear his word. And in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, see again, using that same word, it does mean mouth, but it also means the leading edge of a sword or the sharp side of a sword. It's literally what God does to make separation in the invisible world. When it comes out of your mouth, you're literally using a spiritual weapon to reorchestrate or redesign or redistribute the way things work in the spirit world. Everybody hears God's voice. When you use your mouth to say his words, it changes your life. Believe, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice that there is a production that comes from that. Skip down, if you would, to verse 16. I know I'm leaving some stuff out that I know are in your notes. You can go study that for yourself. But skip down to verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, after this talk about how this works, we get to this point and we say, wait a minute, you know, how will they know if nobody tells them, if their preacher's not sent, and how will they hear if nobody speaks to them? That's right before this. But he says, but they've not all obeyed the gospel. See, they've heard these things, but they didn't obey it. Why? Because the gospel, like what Tracy was saying, has become a list of rules and regulations and rights and wrongs. But really, the word for gospel there means good news. And gospel, good news, is something that is spoken of after it's happened, not something you do. The gospel has changed because it's good news to you. It's not bad news. It's good news. It's being reported to you as good news. Look at verse number 17. Well, let's keep reading. For Isaiah says, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice it doesn't say faith comes by having heard. This is an active, present tense continuum. Having heard is not what he's saying. Hearing, actively today, hearing God's voice. He says faith is energized or comes into the picture because you're hearing. If this verse is a fairy tale, then there's no reason for you to believe what I've just told you, that everyone hears. But if this verse is God's word to you, then everyone hears God's voice. Because faith comes by hearing, not having heard. The moment you got saved, it wasn't because you heard, it was because you were hearing. Hearing, the sharp sword of Christ's word, came and separated you from a life of sin. Just like that. Just like that. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. This verse tells us, have they heard? Well, of course they have. Yes, indeed. Now look what it says. Their sound has gone out to all the earth. This is why I say everyone hears God's voice. Because here it is. The sound, their sound, goes out, and their words to the end of the earth. These are people who have heard the gospel. Their words go out and cover the whole earth. That's the day we live in today. It's happening, has happened, and will continue to happen. God's word is being poured forth. It's designed for us to live on. Everyone hears God's voice. No one is beyond. No one's done too much. No one's gone too far. Everyone hears God's voice. Your choice is, what are you going to compete with? If you listen to more of the other stuff, you'll crowd out your ability, or really your willingness to hear his voice. As we proceed in this series, I'm going to try and stay really practical with you. Because what I want you to leave this series with is this simple understanding that whatever circumstance you're in, whatever noise you're being confronted with, whatever circumstances seems beyond the pale, you just can't ever get there, that God's voice is always speaking to you. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, would you please? Come on, music team. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today. I believe your word is clear. We all hear your voice. Father, as we proceed, I want to get to the place where everyone hears your voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Father, I want the sharp word of your mouth to separate me from the words of the stranger, to separate me from the function of sin, to separate me into the function of being spirit-led. Oh, Father, thank you for as many as hear your voice, you give them the right to be called children or sons of God. Thank you, Father, for that. And I confess today that everyone hears your voice. Everyone hears your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To subscribe to our podcast, search New Life Eckley in all of the major podcasting apps. Audio and video of our sermons are posted at newlifeeckley.com/live, and you can watch sermon slices weekdays on social media. Search at New Life Eckley. Our main service is at 10 a.m. Mountain Time every Sunday. Thanks for listening.